So there was an initial policy to have a majority in the room.
Well, we have a majority in the room, so I'll go ahead and call our Tuesday, February 28th, 2023 City of Columbia Council work session to order. I would like to make a motion to adjust the agenda. The way the agenda reads, we were going to immediately go into closed session and then come back for the residential solid waste curbside collection. So I move that residential solid waste curbside collection discussion move to the first item, and then we have the closed session as the last item. Do I have a second?
Second.
Seconded by Andrea. All those in favor say aye.
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 Any opposed? Okay. All right. So let's go ahead and kick it off with the subject of tonight. Do we have a staff report?
Yes. David Sorrell, Director of Utilities, with me tonight is Steve Hunt, the Assistant Director over Solid Waste. First, I'd like to say thank you for taking time to let us present this information. So this is a discussion we're going to have about what we are recommending we do with curbside collections for residential solid waste. Next, please. So give a little background. In November of 2022, we had a council work session. We presented some recommended changes to curbside collection, and of the ones we presented, three we were directed to move forward with. One was don't make any changes to residential curbside recycling program at this time, to wait until our study by RRT is complete, and then we would know what changes would be appropriate, if any. The second one was to quit providing the city logo bags. And the third recommendation was to go ahead and explore converting to an automated residential curbside refuse collection program. So in December of 2022, the council approved an ordinance revision that eliminated the requirement for the city to provide and to use city logo bags. At that time, we had approximately 70,000 rolls of logo and non-logo bags in stock. So refuse and recycling bag vouchers were issued in late January, early February to all residential curbside customers, and our supply of logo and non-logo bags is being distributed to retailers, and we will continue this until the stock of those bags is depleted. Two things to note is Gerbs and Schnucks did drop out of the program to distribute the garbage bags, but they are still doing the recycling bags. We'll continue indefinitely to purchase and distribute the recycling bags to customers. So one of the things council asked us to do in November was to seek some public input on automated trash collections. So in January, we held two public meetings at the ARC, and we put a survey up on the Be Heard website. And then in February, we hired a consultant to help us do that, and in February, they did a results and provided a PowerPoint type presentation that was attached to the agenda that with the results of the surveys that we did. We ended up collecting a total of 892 surveys through three different methods between January 6th and February 10th. This slide just shows the number of surveys and the types collected. I'm not gonna go through each number on it. So, the feedback summary is that the majority of respondents that participated in our surveys are in favor of the idea of converting to an automated system, especially younger people and those that generate larger amount of garbage than others. One thing that we did realize during these sessions that if we do go to an automated collection system, we're going to need to probably engage the efforts of a consultant that's well-versed in education to help us educate before we implement. So there's a lot of passion on both sides of this issue. The top reasons that people are in favor were aesthetics, worker safety, ease of use, animal control, and good experiences with these programs in other communities. And the top reasons people were opposed were aesthetics, they're cumbersome, lack of storage space, concern for elderly or disabled, and not going to be an improvement over the current system. Overall, we had 69% of the people in the survey responded that they were in favor of automated refuse collections. 6% said maybe, 25% said no, they were not. Top reasons for support were again aesthetics, safety for workers, ease of use, animal control, and they've had it in other places they've lived. The top reasons they were opposed was aesthetics. It's an eyesore, that they're cumbersome, no storage space, concern for elderly and disabled to use it, and it's not an improvement. And this lists some the same issue with a different point of view. Like eyesore, people for the change said it would eliminate many households that routinely pile up 7 or 8 bags. Against it, they say, well, after the trash is picked up, the neighborhood looks good. There's no carts left at the curb. Safety, that says roll carts will reduce injury. People are for the change, people against it. They said the employees are young. Why is their health more important than those who are served? Both are important. Another slide that's got the same things, you know, like animal control says people for it thinks that the carts would help prevent animals from getting into the trash and making a mess, and other people are concerned that the raccoons would tip the carts over. So there's lots of different ways to look at the different items with a program like this. So what we're proposing is that we go to an automated collection system that would utilize 9 full-size CDL-required refuse trucks. They would run Monday through Friday. Each truck would service approximately 710 homes a day. And in addition to that, we would have 2 non-CDL trucks. They'd be a smaller truck. They would each service about 355 stops a day. Those trucks would be utilized to serve those areas where there's narrow streets, lots of on-street parking, such as that. And we have yet to identify those specific areas, but you know, East Campus would be an example where it may be more feasible to use a smaller truck that's more maneuverable than going down in a subdivision that's got a 32-foot wide street. We would still run 1 major appliance route each day, Monday through Friday. We would schedule 20 stops collections each day. And then we would need to continue to run 2 rear load routes to collect the commercial or dumpsters at some apartments that are on the residential routes now. So we would collect bulky items in those containers, and we'd run 2 of those a day. We recommend that we provide a roll cart to each customer, and the cart we're recommending is this one that's right in front of me. That's a sample that a vendor has supplied us, but we could have 3 sizes. So you could have this large 95-gallon cart, the mid-size 65-gallon cart, or the smaller 35-gallon cart, and the rate for those are the small cart would be $12.87 per month. The mid-size cart would be $17.37 per month, and that is the current rate that we charge today. And then the 95-gallon cart would be $22.50 per month. And then if you needed an additional cart because you just generate large amounts of trash, we would provide an additional 95-gallon cart for an additional $13.50 per month. This is just a graphic that kind of shows that the small cart could hold approximately 3 13-gallon bags, the mid-size cart could hold approximately 6, and the large one could hold approximately 10. And I will point out that a 65-gallon cart is basically the equivalent of the volume that you could put into 2 of our city logoed bags that we were using. So then we would also need to have ordinances to address some concerns such as customer responsibility, maintenance, how to exchange a cart, extra cart collections if needed, et cetera. So we're planning to present those to council in March. And so I'll go through some of these changes. So the first one would be to not allow ashes, coals, or loose cool ashes to be placed in the carts. Not to allow items that are too large to be crammed into the carts, and not to allow construction debris, rocks, or dirt to be disposed of using the carts. And customers get to select the size of the refuse cart based upon what volume they think they'll generate each week. And if they exceed that capacity often, then they should probably request a larger size cart. And then if they get the 95-gallon cart and still need a larger one, then they'd have to pay the additional $13.50 to get an additional cart. We were proposing that you could not set out your cart earlier than 4 p.m. the day preceding your collection, and then we need to have it out by 6:30 a.m. on the day of collection, just so that they're out in time, that when we get started, we can get them collected. Well, we would propose a requirement that the carts have to be removed from the curb no later than 10 p.m. on the day of collection, that you keep the carts 3 feet between multiple carts if you have more than one, and that you keep them at least 8 foot from a vehicle or a mailbox or something. We need to have 15 feet of vertical clearance above the cart. The lid would have to be completely closed for us to service it. And then if you have, you know, if your cart goes missing or gets stolen or it's damaged, you would call us. We'll repair a damaged cart or we'll replace it. We may have to charge if it's something beyond normal wear and tear. The carts will need to be stored on private property, not on the city right-of-way. The carts will remain the property of the city, and they'll be assigned to each specific address. So if a customer moves, they won't take the cart. They leave the cart there, and they'll get the cart at their new residence. And they need to keep the cart clean so they don't become kind of a health hazard, attracting rodents and pests or flies and such as that. And then customers are going to want to exchange their cart for a smaller, larger size, depending on what they use. And so if they make the request to exchange it within 120 days of initially receiving the cart, we'll exchange that at no cost. But if they want to charge that, change it after that, we're going to have a $25 exchange fee, just so that people aren't calling up every other month, changing back and forth because it's convenient. House collection for physically disabled or handicapped. Currently, we go up to the home and collect garbage for people who are physically unable to carry bags to the curb. And we'll continue to provide that service with automated collections. They'll need to have certification by a healthcare provider that they have limitations that don't allow them to transport the cart to the curb. And then we'll just go up to the house and get it, take it down the street, empty it, take it back to the house. One other thing we've thought about was, what happens if you have a graduation party or something and you have an extremely large amount of garbage 1 week and you say, well, I need to get rid an extra collection. We'll schedule those. And, you know, if you can't wait until the next week that you just got too much, we'll schedule an extra collection, send a truck by and collect that. And that would be for the one-offs, not somebody who needs two carts every week. It would be, I need it once a year, type of a thing. And for the extra collection fee would also be based on the cart size. So it'd be $7.70 for the 35-gallon cart, $12.20 for the 65-gallon cart, and $16.70 for the 95-gallon cart. We heard a lot of talk about wind and blowing carts over, and we actually got information from our vendor that it takes 37 mile an hour wind or higher to blow over a cart, assuming that the cart's empty and it doesn't roll when the wind's blowing it. And then the residents, you know, we can all store carts on private property, and that can be in front of, next to, behind, or inside a home. And they need to be kept in good repair with the lids closed. Then we recognize that some residential streets have narrow streets with on-street parking, cul-de-sac bulbs such as that, which may be difficult to collect in some instances, and we'll utilize the smaller vehicle and non-CDL staff to possession refuse carts, or to move the refuse carts so that we can collect them if needed. To help alleviate the fears that we won't be able to collect on like University Avenue when the cars are all parked there, we can actually, two people staff, move the cart, collect it, move it back. So Rarig has been selected as a cart vendor if this gets approved. And so we would propose to purchase 36,200 carts. Rarig would assemble the carts and distribute them to customers. They would send out a mailer to customers and ask them to choose the size of their carts. And they'd get on the website and they could say, well, I want a 65-gallon cart or I want a 35-gallon cart. And then that's what would be delivered by the company if we actually implement this program. We use these numbers here because that's what they've kind of seen, the distribution of different size carts in the past for budget purposes. We don't know yet exactly what we're going to have. Maybe a lot more people get the smaller cart than what they're predicting. And the total cost of the carts is about $2.1 million, or about $2 million. So how do we fund that? Well, our FY22 budget included replacement for collection vehicles as normal fleet for $1.3 million. We deferred that because we were uncertain as to whether or not we were going to convert to an automated system. So we've moved all that money into 23 budget, and the 23 budget also had $1.4 million for replacement of four vehicles as normal fleet replacement. And since we are no longer providing the garbage bags, there is an additional $1.1 million available in the FY23 operating budget. So our total funding that's available is $3.8 million. We have had out an RFP to lease vehicles for this, and the lease of those vehicles we anticipate would be about $900,000 a year for all the vehicles. The carts would be $2.1 million, so a total of about $3 million to implement. Next. So that should leave us with about $874,000 that's in the current FY23 budget that would still be available. And we would propose using a portion of that funding to hire a public communications consultant that could develop and implement a communications outreach and engagement plan to help educate our customers of changes prior to their implementation. So pending direction from council, we are prepared to present ordinance revisions to convert to an automated curbside collection in March. And then we would continue to work with purchasing and legal to prepare vehicle lease contracts for council consideration. We'd also have to do change to our route management software so that these trucks could be equipped for the route management software. We got a lot of things to do. Based on anticipated delivery times, I believe that we would not be able to implement this until probably about March of next year, because the trucks wouldn't be here till January of next year. So that's I think we got lots of time to do the public education piece of this and have a consultant that's qualified to do the outreach and education. And we'll continue to talk with our collection staff to get feedback on the program if it's implemented, once it's implemented, to keep making improvements in the methods that we're using. That, I'd be happy to attempt to answer questions.
Thank you, Dave. So a reminder, this is a work session, so it's for council to ask our questions from staff, see what sort of feedback we can give them before anything comes to council for this. And so any decisions that will be made, any votes happening, will happen in an actual regular council meeting, just for anyone watching online or in the audience. All right, any questions from council?
Do you want, like, specific questions about the presentation? Like, if we had questions about maybe things that would be included in an ordinance, or do you want to hold off?
I would say, yeah. So I appreciate you included potential draft changes to the ordinance. So what I would encourage is feedback, especially related to that and anything, especially the questions we get from our citizens asking us about what would implementation look like and how would the operations work.
Great. I do have one question regarding the storage. The exchange fee. Does that apply if somebody moves to a new house and the roll cart that's already there is insufficient in the size that they want?
No. If they move to a different house and there's a roll cart there that's a 35-gallon cart and they've historically had a 95, there would not be a fee for exchange of that if it's done within that first 120 days. And okay. And that's probably something that if we have customers moving internally, moving inside the city, that we probably need to set that up with UCS when they transfer their utilities, say, what size cart do you currently have? Do you want to maintain that? And that'd be easy to implement.
What's the 120 days that you mentioned? I'm sorry.
If you come, like say you moved to town and you came in, you said, I need a 95-gallon cart, and then you realize that you're only using the equivalent of a 35-gallon cart, if you call to exchange that within 120 days, there would not be a charge.
Got it. Thank you.
Betsy.
Got a little confused with the buying trucks and leasing trucks. So it sounds like we're talking about leasing trucks and you can't get trucks until at least January of next year. But is the plan to buy trucks, but we can't buy them within that time frame?
We were recommending to go down the path to lease the vehicles instead of buying them, because we'd be able to we'd be able to replace them with newer vehicles on a more frequent basis for about the equivalent cost. But we don't anticipate being able to implement this because the trucks will not be available until January. So when I was talking about buying trucks, that was what was budgeted to replace previously. With this, we're proposing to lease the vehicles.
And that would be a comparable amount of money. Actually, it sounds like less. About $900,000 a year
to lease
nine.
Yes, that's a total of 12. How was it? 12 or 13. Total of 13 trucks.
Or about $900,000.
For $900,000 a year, approximately. Okay. And that comes with fluid and filter changes as part of the lease. They would actually come change the oil and hydraulic fluid, such as that.
Okay. Thank you.
I have several questions.
Okay.
Do you guys budget that for the truck replacement every year? I mean, have you historically that 1.2 million or whatever?
We budget for replacement of trucks and or equipment at the landfill, and I don't know, it's the total number about, well, it's more than that. It's about $4 million a year total. But some of that's commercial trucks, some of that's residential trucks, some of it's landfill equipment, but the residential's roughly that number. Year after year.
So going forward, after the cost of buying all the carts to get it set up, would that be additional potential savings in the future?
Instead of budgeting that $1.2 or $3.4 million to replace those residential vehicles, we would be budgeting $900,000 to lease them.
Right.
And now we would still have.
And then you would have the savings from not buying bags.
Yes.
And the number of drivers and the routes that you mentioned, so compare your staffing, you know, needs with this structure versus where you are today.
So if we went back and converted to weekly residential recycling collection, it would take 10 people with the two-person trucks, and then it would take 14 because of the appliance. It'd be a total of 24, and right now we're budgeted at 28.
So you're saying that if you implemented this plan, you would be able to go back to weekly recycling?
Not at this time. We still don't have enough employees, but what I'm trying to say is that right now, if we were fully staffed to operate what we have, we would need 28 people. Okay. And under this, we would need 24. But we're still, we got what, 12 vacancies, I think, in residential right now. So we still wouldn't have enough people to go back to weekly today.
And that kind of leads to another question, because I know we're going through a process to look at how we're recycling as well. So one of the questions I get a lot is, you know, I'm gonna have one cart for trash, one for recycling, two for recycling, like another one for food waste, composting. So I know you're still early in that process, and I don't know if you can shed any light on that. But I guess my other thought is, if we're making big changes on the trash side, and if we also make big changes on the recycling side, do we need to change like everything at one time? Do we need to change in increments?
I personally believe we're better off right now to do this in two steps, and that's to do the garbage and then find out what our recommendations are with our study to see if we're going to make upgrades to the material recovery facility that would make it, say, a single stream facility, which in that case, then we could explore the idea of a cart for recycling, but you'd put all your fiber, all your cans, all your bottles in the one cart. If we did it today and we ended up with three carts and we'd end up with trucks that had split hoppers on them for the two different recycling carts, and then if we ended up going to a single stream, we'd have 30,000 extra carts that we wouldn't need. So I think we'd be better off to wait for the results of the recycling study and then decide how to move forward.
Okay.
And that study, I believe, is supposed to be completed August, September timeframe.
And then how did you come up with the rates for the different sizes?
I'll let you go ahead. You did all that work.
So I can share this with you if you'd like, but what we did, we looked at the three different cart sizes and calculated some maximum weights that each cart would have, and then set the 65-gallon cart to be the current residential rate, and then backtrack from there based upon the weights and that rate to calculate for the bigger cart and the smaller cart. So for instance, we calculated that the medium-sized cart would have about a maximum of 300 pounds of material in it for calculation purposes, and that gives a landfill fee of $9. So then you take the current rate minus the $9, and that's your base fee. Mm-hmm. And then we took the weights for the bigger one and the smaller one, the same method, and added it to the $8.37 base fee to come up with the different rates.
Okay, makes sense.
We would. Now this is for implementation purposes. Dave and I both recommend that down the road, if we do implement, we do a cost of service study and confirm that these rates are accurate. But for implementation purposes, I think this is.
And then would everybody have like the same cart? Did you guys look at like letting people pick different colors, having half of them black, half gold, have a art competition? I mean, anything like that?
What I was recommending, I think our perspective was, we like this gray cart with the black lid, but we don't care what color it is. It doesn't make any difference to our operation what colors they are, and so that's completely up to you. If you'd like to make multiple colors available, then that's something we could work on. There may be a little bit more cost to that, but that could be pretty cumbersome if somebody has a red cart and then I move into the house and I want a yellow one. But we can make that work if we need to.
Yeah, well, definitely don't leave it up to me. But it's, you know, things that I've seen in other communities, right, where they'd be a little more whimsical with.
The one thing I would not recommend is allowing the blue or green carts to be used, because those are currently used throughout the city for either fiber or containers, and that would start to cause confusion.
Yeah, as far as I'm concerned, y'all decide on a color. You say in this fiscal year there will be about $874,000 left, and part of that will be used for someone to help with the communications, to help educate the public about that. That was another question I had. So I doubt that's going to take all of $874,000. What will happen to the balance of that, and what can we anticipate moving forward? I assume moving forward we won't be anticipating revenue surpluses out of this, but I don't know.
At this point, I don't anticipate revenue surpluses out of this, but you know, any money that's not used in the operating budget just goes back into the solid waste fund, and then it could be used for purchase of trucks the following year. It could put in the operating budget the next year. It could be used for paying for part of the next sell at the landfill or for vehicle storage building. It's yeah.
So
just be appropriated
moving
back
forward, and you wouldn't necessarily have anything in mind for that right away.
No, not currently.
Okay. You mentioned about narrow streets and using non-CDL staff to position the carts. Is that right? Does that mean that there might be someone who would go out early in the morning and move carts to another place? I know that I'm very familiar with this. I have neighbors who park on the street, and I have wondered how that would work.
So if we, you know, that we're going to have to figure out what areas we want to assign those smaller, more maneuverable trucks to. But if we have areas that we just can't get to real easily, our first method of trying to address that would be a two-person vehicle, probably in the non-CDL truck, and then one person could hop out and move the carts back and forth as needed to service them. Worst case scenario, we may end up having to come back at some point and say, can we restrict parking on Monday between 7 o'clock and noon?
Mm-hmm.
But we would attempt other methods before we would ask to restrict parking.
Okay, and then just a question about yard waste. Is that fair game to go into these or not?
Yes, it can be put in there. Okay. It'd be perfectly acceptable.
And no other plans for dealing with yard waste at this time?
Not at this time. I think our consultant, that's part of what they've been charged with, is to look at that as well with okay. the recycling program.
Yeah, I was wondering about that, too, in terms of that study as well. Okay. All right. Thanks.
This would also be a time to make the plug for next Tuesday. There is an open house with our recycling consultant, I think. Is that correct? From 6 to 8 at the ARC?
Yes, that's correct.
And you said that yard waste and I think also discussion around organics is mm-hmm. included in that survey. So I think some of the questions that I had about this system were answered there. I think a couple of my questions I had, would they request which size they got, or would you automatically assume they were going to get one and we have to specially request another?
So Rarig, if we move forward with this, we'll send each customer a postcard that makes them aware that they'll be getting a cart, and they will be asked to pick the size of cart that they would like to have. So then they can get on their website, or is it mailer?
Both.
Okay, they can mail it back or they can get on their website and say, I want a 35-gallon container. And the next-door neighbor says, I want a 95-gallon container. And then when they deliver the containers, they'll actually deliver the size of cart that the customer requested. If the customer doesn't respond, they'll by default get the mid-size cart.
Okay. It's that one. That is the mid-size cart. Yes. Yeah. My next question, you mentioned a route management system that you review right now. So based on the sizes requested, I'm thinking about your different types of trucks that are going to be required for some of those smaller streets. Is there a potential of routes changing based on the logistics of this operations?
You mean as far as day of the week?
Mm, yeah.
There's a potential. I wouldn't envision it at this time. I think we can make it work without changing people's day of collection.
Okay.
I mean, that would need to be part of a bigger picture project to look at what days are getting more heavily loaded than others.
Right. And then I asked you a few questions by email that you responded to, but I think are questions that we get a lot of emails about. So one of them was, in those examples of communities, there are neighborhoods that have a lot of cul-de-sacs, and then they might also have mailboxes or duplexes on the curbside and shared driveways. And I think you kind of explained it a little bit, that you, what would your operations be in those instances?
Well, one thing I think that we need to explore looking into is prior to this actually going into service would be to go out in these types of areas where there may be difficult access and meet with residents and then actually talk, say, well, this cart really should be placed right here and then we won't have any issue. We could even put a dot on the curb. I know the distributor of the carts says that goes a long way to helping with those type of issues if you just go out when they're delivered and meet with residents and try to figure out how to make it work. You may end up in some instances there again, it you have to have two people go or somebody has to get out and move a cart once in a while.
And then my last question was just when putting together these regulations, how similar to other communities that have these is our ordinance kind of requirements, like the requirement of having refuse go into bags and some of the different things about, you know, what hours to put out, where they can go, those sort of things.
So in developing these ordinances, I looked at a couple different cities. Austin, Texas is one we looked at. They have a pretty robust set of ordinances for their automated collections. They have a bag, their ordinances that they, customers have to put their material in the bag. Looked at Davenport, Iowa, as well as Denver, and all three had the bag requirement. And I don't believe Davenport or Denver specified why, but Austin had some verbiage in their ordinances. It was a health what they saw as a health issue why they required their customers to use bags.
Yeah, that would be. I just add that that'd be difficult for us to enforce, and 95% of the people are going to probably be removing their garbage from a waste basket in the house that's already in a bag. It could even be like a shopping grocery store bag or whatever. So most of it's going to be in bags. I mean, we could easily remove that from the ordinance if that's what you desire.
And then I just want to know, I know that from an operations standpoint that you all would love it if we just had one size cart and it was the largest one ever, but we appreciate you giving us the options because pay as you throw, reducing, incentivizing, just throwing away things is important.
It's a good program to have the multiple size carts being offered.
Pat, do you have any questions? And remember to unmute yourself, please.
I do. Have you had a chance to ask your current solid waste staff how, if they are in favor of our moving to this automated collection in the year?
Yeah, I think you've had three meetings with them, I believe, to discuss this.
Yes. Myself and the supervisors have met with the residential staff on multiple occasions. They continue to be concerned about pay. Obviously, they don't want to lose their ad pay. Initially, they were somewhat concerned about the length of their work shift. I had rumors start. A couple of them have done this type of collection for private vendors in the past in other locations. They were concerned that we would ask them to work a 12-hour day. We explained that was not the case. And just the overall learning of the vehicles. Other than that, they haven't expressed any direct concerns to me.
How many of our current solid waste workers are CDL drivers versus, I understand we have a solid waste packer position?
Yep. Right now we have two packer positions filled, and then the rest of the full-time employees on residential are CDL. They have their CDL license.
And so would that be that you have 12 CDL drivers, or I'm trying to remember what Dave said about his current number of vacancies?
I don't, if you give me a minute, I can tell you exactly how many staff we have residential. I don't have it on top of my head, but I can find out.
Is the department still using temporary staff to meet their needs?
Yes, we have some city employed temporary staff, and I think we're using about 15 people in general on a daily basis from a temporary agency.
So what happens to that practice when we go to automated trash collection?
Well, if we go to automated collections right now, we still won't have enough staff to do both the garbage and the recycling, so we'll continue to use this temporary agency at this point in time. If we were to successfully recruit and fill our positions, it may be that we would not need to use any of the staff from the temporary agency.
But they're not CDL drivers, are they, the temporary employees?
No, they simply would be the second individual on the truck. Mm-hmm. So like in one of these deals where if we have a tight area that's not very maneuverable and we actually had to have a two-person truck go out, then that's a non-CDL position that person could move carts and make them accessible and put them back.
Will the packer position, I know you've only put out two of those positions, but will the packer position go away, or will those temporary workers be eligible to be packers?
If we go to the automated collections for basically all of those routes except the two smaller trucks, there would be no need for a packer position. So we would still need it for the curbside recycling at this time, unless we were to successfully fill our positions.
Okay. What does the leasing of trucks do to your mechanics that work within solid waste? Would they be reassigned to other parts? I know you have more than just solid waste trucks. I mean, you have CDL drivers across lots of departments. I understand that you have several hundred CDL drivers that work for the city and that they drive complex trucks. Is how do the mechanics feel about moving to automated trash collection and leasing of vehicles?
I think fleet is supportive of leasing the vehicles. The mechanics would still be responsible for all the repairs to the trucks, you know, and changing tires or if a cylinder breaks or hydraulic hose breaks or something. The only maintenance that comes with the lease is the fluid and filter changes. The fleet supported it.
Okay. How many vacancies do you have in your mechanics ranks? Is that still a difficult position to fill?
The mechanics all work for fleet, and I don't know. I know they have vacancies, but I don't know the numbers.
Okay. My question about the transition, we have folks like me who have internet access, and I can afford bags to put in the bags into the cart to meet the requirements of the ordinance. But what do we do and how do we reach out to those folks that don't have internet access or this, just making this kind of change where they have, not only they pay their bill, but now they also have to have bags. How do we accommodate them in this transition?
Aren't you guys sending out letters along?
We're going to do a robust communication process that will look at more than just using digital access to actually give information out to residents. So part of the thought is actually hiring a firm to actually do that work. So the communication plan hasn't been completely developed, but it will be more mm-hmm. than just using the internet to get the word out to residents on what's occurring. And remember, if the council approves this, this won't go into effect until March of 24. So we have plenty of time to make sure that we notify people on exactly how the process will work and what needs to be done.
So I was pleased to hear the idea that you would meet with customers when their cart arrives and paint a dot on the area at the end of their driveway or whatever, because that gives that kind of personal opportunity to ask questions and understand what's expected of them. I hope that there's sufficient in-person outreach as well. Then my other question is, I read the different prohibitions, and while I think it's admirable to suggest that people get plastic bags to bag their garbage or their trash before it leaves their house, you know, there's a big pushback in the community about more plastic bags. I've heard from many folks who are interested in carts that they don't want to see us have to put a plastic bag into the cart. So I would encourage us to change that language to being a suggestion that they use bags if they want. And then families that can't afford bags are just going to find whatever they can to accumulate their garbage and throw it away. The other thing I noticed in there was that there was a prohibition against putting something in anybody else's cart. Now, I know that that's difficult to enforce, but I wondered why we needed to have that rule.
Well, if you think about two neighbors who don't necessarily get along, and one neighbor goes to the next door and pulls their trash out and puts their own trash in it, if we don't have an ordinance that prohibits that, then it kind of makes it difficult for us to enforce something along those lines. I mean, it's an extreme case. I think most people would mm-hmm. do that. But the ordinance is in there just to protect from situations such as that.
So, and that would be a complaint-driven system, so that if I wanted to allow my neighbors to put their extra trash in my 65-gallon container, there wouldn't be any adverse effect for them or anybody else?
No, there would not.
Okay. Yeah, we have a young family. We actually have two families across the street, and I've been looking how much trash they put out because they have little ones. And I also know that they're having difficulty paying their electric bill. So that would be the kind of neighbor I would say, hey, use my larger trash container. And I don't want to interfere with the way neighbors help each other in the neighborhoods. Thank you.
Yeah, Andrea.
Previously, we had discussed providing vouchers or access to extra trash bags for folks who maybe needed them based on a variety of criteria. What's the status with that or the plan?
So we just mailed out vouchers, mm-hmm. and so all 35,000 customers approximately got vouchers so they can get two rolls of bags. We have an arrangement with the food bank to distribute the 5-count rolls of bags that we have remaining, but they're ready to do that for us, but we are not going to go deliver them the bags that they'll provide for free until most of our vouchers get turned in and most of the inventory of our large rolls get used.
Do you foresee that as something that continues into March of 24, or is it just until things run out?
I would anticipate that it'll only be until we run out of inventory.
Okay. Other questions for staff? Comments? Yeah, Matt.
I would agree with the suggestion on the bags and, you know, not requiring it. I mean, I agree that 95% is probably will happen, but yeah.
We'll change that in the draft and to make it to where we suggest that they're put in some type of a container before being placed in there, but not required.
And I would also just say for the part when we're talking about working with the residents and the kind of like warm touch with helping logistics for going it, we have a very, very passionate community for volunteerism. And I know especially within volunteer services related to recycling and composting, I think you've got a lot of people that would be willing to help with this transition. So just thinking about when you're working with that consultant as the communication outreach, to help educate those community members to help us with that and maybe looking at that system.
Very good idea. Yeah. And we'll see what we can do there.
All right. Is there any other questions for this? So the next steps, I appreciate you had a slide in there I think you had it in your email to us. Next steps, what's the next steps?
The next steps on this is if we'll make the modifications that we heard about in these draft ordinances, and then I would propose that we place this on the council agenda for introduction at the next meeting. And then if it ultimately gets approved, then we'll go ahead and we'll work on truck leases and getting a consultant scope drafted up and RFPs and route management software changed and the carts ordered and just keep moving forward.
Questions? No? Okay. Well, thank you. That's the end of this section. We'll do public comment, obviously, when this comes up for conversation and vote for the council. All right. So moving on to the next session, I'm moving that the City Council of the City of Columbia, Missouri to immediately go into a closed meeting in Conference Room 2A of City Hall to discuss the hiring, firing, discipline, or promoting of particular employees by a governmental body when personnel information about the employees discussed or recorded pursuant to Section 610.0213 of the Revised Statutes of Missouri and individually identifiable personnel records, performance ratings, or records pertaining to employees or applicants for employee pursuant to Section 610.02113 of the Revised Statutes of Missouri, and then ask for a second.
Second.
Seconded by Andrea. I'll do roll call. Matt?
Yes.
Ms. Peters?
Yes.
Ms. Buffalo? Yes. Ms. Fowler?
Yes.
Ms. Wehner?
Yes.
Mr. Lovelady?
Yes.
Mr. Foster?
Yes.
Okay. And when this closed meeting will conclude, we will come down back to council chambers to officially adjourn, but there won't be any other discussion. All right. Thank you.
Adjourned.
Pitzer made the motion. Betsy seconded. All in favor, say aye.
Aye.